Morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Chilly.
It is a bit cold out there this morning.
It's damp cold.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
It's not cold, cold. It's damp cold.
It's that...
Yes.
It's that cold.
Yeah.
Is that,
I was in London yesterday. I did something for ITV yesterday. And we were standing on that green with the road out.
I know.
Burgers of Calais.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just trying to snow. But it was
Oh, really?
Dry. It was dry cold.
Yeah.
This is nasty wet cold.
Yeah, this is wet cold. Not good at all. Did you have a nice Christmas?
I had a lovely Christmas.
Fantastic. And New Year's Eve? What did you do New Year's Eve?
We did nothing. We stayed in and we watched
television.
Fantastic. As the Americans would say, we just chilled out and relaxed.
Fantastic. That sounds awfully nice to me. I'm gonna say that. I nearly swore then. It's going to sound really nice to me. Now, you bring some very, very interesting things up with us when we have a chat like this once a month. And what have you got for us today?
Two things. One, I brought some illustrations to talk about because we're finding that more and more children's books and even adults, paperbacks, whatever it is, all the illustrations for the books are now being generated on computers.
Oh, are they really?
So the artwork isn't being made by people anymore.
So do you mean it's drawn on a computer or it's actually... Oh, it's drawn on the
computer. Well, it's drawn on a computer. They'll do one drawing and then some... spotty 12-year-old did somewhere on a computer, will manipulate it, so they will then have a whole series of drawings.
Oh, I see. From the one original
from
picture.
From the one original drawing.
Oh, I see. I've got you.
Computer, CAD, computer
see
design,
that,
things like that.
I go back, I released a book years ago, I had to have the illustrations done.
Well, you know, you had to have the illustrations drawn.
Yeah.
So very often they're coloured by somebody else, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're coloured by other people. Then you get... We've got a lot of artwork of Thomas the Tank Engine, and the artist died of cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so they had to get a new artist for the comics.
Yeah.
And the style is just slightly different.
Yeah, trying to match something like that.
You can see it.
Yeah.
And we've got the original artwork for a man called Timothy Marwood, did it for about 20 years. His work's in the V&A and all sorts of places. And this guy, Timothy Marwood, died of cancer about 2007, 2008. And we've got some of the later artwork for the later comics. And it's cruder.
Yeah.
Because they're working to match, whereas Timothy Marwood just did what he did.
Yeah, that's right. He done his own thing.
He did his own thing. He wasn't trying to copy anybody. He just did his own thing. And he kept doing it. And obviously, for doing it for 25 years, he got better and better at it.
Yeah, yeah.
More confident at it.
Yeah.
But the other people are always trying to copy that original
stuff.
Yeah,
you never get... once.
It never works.
No, the copy
but
never
now,
works.
Now, what they've done is they've scanned the originals and they've changed the storylines.
Right.
So they've got the original illustrations on computer, and they just changed the wording underneath.
Oh, really? It's very clever. That I don't like this. We had a conversation about this. This artificial intelligence.
That's another thing. No, artificial intelligence is another thing. But what I'm saying is that in the past, every time you had a book, you had 10 to 50 original pieces of artwork created.
Yeah.
They were used and then stored or thrown away or whatever it is.
Hmm.
You know, there were millions of pieces of artwork created for illustrations.
Yeah.
And now there aren't. So they're getting scarcer and scarcer.
Right. Does that mean they're becoming more and more expensive?
They're becoming more and more expensive. They're becoming not necessarily more expensive, but they're becoming more and more collectible.
Uh-huh.
People are buying things from their childhood.
Yeah.
People are buying Thomas the Tank Engine, Noddy, Postman Pat, Little Grey Rabbit, all Beatrix Potter, all these things. They're telling their children their stories. They're reading them their books. And they're buying one or two to put in the children's nurseries.
Yeah, yeah. We're constantly buying books for my little. And it does look like it's computer generated, all of it, to be honest with you.
With Thomas the Tank Engine, they made a film. You could see it was done from photographs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they animated the photographs and things like that, you know. It was a different... It's much easier. It's much cheaper for people to do.
Yeah.
Therefore, in theory, we'll get more books. We'll get more films for children.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're losing the quality.
Yeah,
we're going
for
the cheapest option, not necessarily the best option.
Oh, that's typical life now, all over the place, isn't it? In every industry, they're doing that. So what have you brought into show?
I brought in, just for the photograph at the end, I brought in two things. One, amazing photo illustrations from a children's dictionary, 1949.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the page, there are eight images on a page, and this is for the letter R. So it's a row of children running, R for running.
Yeah.
There's a tennis racket, but it's R for racket.
Right.
A raccoon, a rainbow, and a train at a station. So it's obviously for railway.
Yeah, yeah.
So none of the wordings for these things for children weren't looking down at children. It was adult words in a children's dictionary.
Yeah.
It wasn't dumbing down in those days. Nowadays, you know, it would be beef or bun. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Radishes, a sheep, a ram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. It isn't S for sheep, it's R for ram. One or two or three levels up. Beautiful artwork.
They're quite quaint, aren't they? They're quite pretty.
Beautiful. And the other thing I brought in was two illustrations done for advertisements or a magazine of women's hats. One is called Pansy. They're just lovely.
Yeah.
Beautiful work. And these were all created by serious artists just to be used in advertisements or in books or whatever. And the other thing I wanted to talk about, which I think is typical of our time, is the Banksy that you may or may not have seen.
Now,
Port Talbot.
You mentioned this, and I do recall that it's on a corner or something
it's
like that.
On a corner of a concrete garage.
And it was an unusual place. It was two pictures,
well,
wasn't
it? No, it's one picture split on two sides.
Right.
So it's a 3D effect. It's a beautiful 3D effect.
Yeah.
If you stand in one spot, you can see all of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
If you stand on one side of the garage, you see one painting, and if you stand on the other side, you see the other. And it's a child, young man by the look of it, in a duffel coat, not a hoodie, but a duffel coat.
Yeah, yeah.
With snow falling on him.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's a lovely, like, great.
Yeah.
And then if you go around the corner, you see that actually it's the effect of having a fire in a brazier.
Yeah.
And this isn't snow. This is the pollution coming up with the smoke.
It's ash
and
whatever,
and
yeah.
The ash
yeah.
dropping on the boy. So he looks happy. He's enjoying life with the snow, but in reality, it's the pollution from industry.
Yeah.
And this is within a few hundred yards of the big steelworks of Port Talbot.
Now, he does
this.
If
you stand on the grass, on the green, by the picture,
yeah.
the background is the steelworks of Port Talbot.
Now, he done this outside the MI5 building or something in London, didn't he?
He did something similar. He did something.
Well, they were tapping it by a phone box, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he did. Somebody in a phone box and all the spies listening in.
That's right.
But the beauty of this particular piece is I think it's wonderful because it's great for its location.
Yeah.
It's great for any industrial location.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it at night, but I'm told that he used a particular paint, fluorescent paint of some sort, that gives off the same light at night.
Right.
That the light comes out of the blast furnaces through
oh,
the factory.
Oh, really? Glows or sort of thing?
Or the water towers or whatever it is, right? So there's, but it's the same colour. It's the same looking light.
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, this piece could go in any industrial city. So it doesn't show that... There isn't a background outline of the steelworks. It's not that obvious.
Yeah.
But this is about pollution. This is about... We think we're living in a nice, safe environment, comfortable, snow falling, all the rest of it. Isn't it a lovely day?
Yeah.
But in actual fact, we are well and truly, we won't swear, but we are well and truly messing up. That wouldn't be his words, trust me. We are well and truly messing up the planet. And what we must realize is that the planet is one entity.
Yeah.
It's that old song, you know, about it's one melting pot.
Yeah, that's right.
It's one layer of atmosphere.
Yeah.
And if you pollute something in Brentwood,
you're polluting
at some
the atmosphere
point,
itself.
It will affect people in South America or Australia or Australasia. What we're doing with the sea, you know, we are making it into a plastic waste ground, and we will never undo it.
Yeah,
if we
right.
stop today, we'll never undo it.
No.
One of the things that makes me laugh is all this to do about the world using too many plastic bags.
Yeah.
What do you put inside your bin at home
to
put it out? For the council?
Yeah.
How many plastic bags does every
millions
council
and millions
distribute
and millions.
Every bloody, sorry, week?
Yeah.
Right? So we're talking about Sainsbury's and Tesco's and Marks and Sparks, and you know, oh, you've got to pay 5p for a plastic bag to take your wrapped fruit home in.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is ridiculous in the first place. And then the council hands out billions of plastic bags.
Yeah, they do. We had a load delivered few days ago.
Right, every council in England
is
handing out these things left, right and centre, but stopping you using one from Marks and Spencer's or Tesco's.
Perhaps that's the reason they can't just ban a plastic bag. Because
yes, we can. I mean, I'm old. A lot of your listeners won't be old enough, but I can remember you used to go to the shops with a You take one of their cardboard boxes.
That's right.
Which is biodegradable.
They stopped that now.
They've stopped all that because it's fire hazard or trip hazard or this, that, or the other. There's a reason. Well, also, they wanted to sell the bags with their advertising on.
Yeah, that's right.
But they've stopped you having the cardboard boxes. Mm. So they have to pay somebody to take away the cardboard boxes.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't have them, but you used to get a cardboard box from the grocers. You put the potatoes in the bottom. You put a piece of old newspaper on top. You put the other things on top because when you took them home, you cooked them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, everything's sealed in plastic. Then they put in a plastic bag for you to carry home.
Yeah.
It's backward thinking.
It is backward thinking. Nobody seems to care.
I'm 63. Right. And as it happens, I don't have children. But that's by the by. But the point is, I'm still part of the planet. But the, you know, if I had got children or grandchildren, they're the ones that are going to be affected far more by the food in the... Why are we talking about this? We're supposed to be talking about art. But they're the ones that are going to be affected by the micro pieces of plastic that are in every fish now in the oceans. So we're eating the fish, we're getting the plastic.
Yeah, that's right.
We're breathing
that's
the polluted
right.
air.
Yeah.
I can get back to Banksy now. We're polluting the air, we're breathing it. It's collecting in our bodies, not just in our lungs, like smokers, but in the meat in our bodies.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, we're at a turning point, and we are the first generation where not only can we stop it, but we have the knowledge of what we are doing.
Now,
if you do something and you don't know about it, that's one thing. Mm. But if you know about it, and it doesn't matter how rich or how poor you are, you know, we're all breathing the same air, one planet.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you're driving around in a Bentley or a Skoda. It doesn't matter if you've got air conditioning in your car or not. You get out of the car, you're still getting all these pollutants.
Yeah.
Which your own company, your own factories, your own neighbours, your own council is making.
Yeah, that's quite right.
And on the other hand, you've got this nice Banksy on a garage wall in Wales next to this factory. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, wake up. And this is why Banksy is so famous. There are a lot of street artists out there, but he has really, really caught what is important.
How long would it take him to do a picture like that, do you think?
Well, there's two elements of making a picture like this. One is he's got to find the right location.
Mm.
Then he will go back to the studio and with some assistants, as in people that work with him, but with some assistants, he will make a number of stencils.
Right.
Which might take him anywhere between a week and a month. Then he will go middle of the night somewhere. And the actual spraying might take anywhere between 10 minutes and 2 hours.
Oh, really? Is that quick?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not quick. What happened was...
No, I mean, he's actually on the scene that quick. That's why nobody sees him do it, I suppose.
It started off with a man called Bleclerat in Paris.
Yeah.
And if you've been to Paris, you'll know that the streets are wide, the streets are straight, and the streets have no trees. It might sound, what on earth am I talking about? But there was an artist there called Bleclerat who's still painting.
Yeah.
And Bleck used to go in Paris and do some street art. But the trouble is, when you've got those tin cans and you're shaking them to make sure the paint comes out evenly, in the bottom are little steel balls.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you can hear, you know, you've got one of those, you rattle it, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Right. 2 o'clock in the morning, no traffic, straight road, you shake one of those things and the police, that's not what I nearly said, but the police a mile away can hear you.
Yeah.
And because it's a straight road, they can see you.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
can arrest
yeah,
you.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. If so, instead of spending 2 or 3 hours making one of these paintings on a wall, if he spends hours in the studio...
Yeah, nobody can see him. He can do what he wants.
Then you turn up somewhere, 4 bits of blue tack, stick it on the wall, give a quick spray and leg it.
Yeah.
He didn't get arrested so often.
Ah.
Then Banksy is hiding from somebody. I mean, Banksy gives credit to Bleck for giving him the idea.
Yeah.
And Banksy is hiding from, I'm told, allegedly, the railway police one day and thinking there's got to be a better way.
Right.
And come and realises he's read about Bleclerat, so then he starts doing the stencils. So the making the stencils is what's taking the time instead of just turning up and doing something freehand.
So it's like a 10-minute, quarter of an hour job, really.
The on the street is a very, very short period of time because that's the time you are vulnerable to being arrested by the police.
Yeah.
It can take weeks or longer if you've got a team of people, it'll take weeks to make all the stencils, make sure they fit together so that you can go spray the black, spray the green, spray the yellow, spray the, and when you walk away, it's finished. But the actual spraying then takes minutes, yeah, not days.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me, because I often wonder when you look at his photographs, his pictures, why has he never been caught? It's not a 3-minute job, but it is a very short job.
It's a very short, it's a minimal, they minimise the time of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, this piece is just amazing how he's captured what's going on. It's far, to me, it's far more important than the girl with the balloon, the one that he shredded.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a nice picture that you'd hang on your living room wall.
Yeah.
It's nice, but this is punchy. This is what street art is about. This is the essence of graffiti / street art / urban art.
Yeah.
It's a political message in a public place, and it's a hard-hitting message. And that's what street art should be about, not a nice guy holding a bunch of flowers.
Yeah, that's right. It could mean something. Well, John, it's always fascinating to talk to you. And we'll see you again the first Friday of next month.
Yep.